Daniel chapter 9. We've been looking for some time here in our series on the end of the world. We've been looking at the tribulation period in the end of the world. And we've seen the seal judgments, the seven sealed scroll book. We've seen six of the seven trumpet judgments, and the seventh trumpet, all it does is release the final seven judgments. So we've come to the point that I believe brings us to the midpoint of the tribulation period. And so we want to talk about mid-tribulation events. Some very significant events happen at the midpoint of the tribulation period. And so let's just refresh our memory a little bit about that in Daniel chapter 9. Let's start at verse 24 and read down through the end of the chapter. And this is a vision that Daniel has of prophecy. And it says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. That's weeks of years. So this is 70 times 7, it's 490 years to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for inquiry and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So at the end of these 70 weeks, at the end of the 490 years in God's program for Israel, notice middle of the verse, bring in everlasting righteousness. End of the verse, anoint the most holy. That will be Christ's return to the earth to take up the throne of David. At the end of that 490-year program for the nation of Israel, beginning when this says it'll begin. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth, here's the beginning, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So 69 weeks, 69 times 7, that many years from the time that the command is given to restore the Jerusalem until Messiah comes. And if you figure that out from the time that the king of the Medo-Persian Empire gave that commandment until Christ came the first time, that was the 463 years. And the wall even in troublous times. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That's the death of Christ. Notice he was not cut off for himself. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of the war desolations, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, for that last 7 year period. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Let me stop right there. We'll pray in just a minute, but let me stop right there and say, so what we see, 69 weeks of the 70 weeks have passed, have been fulfilled. The 463 years, the 69 weeks have been fulfilled. Christ came, Christ died, and then the program for Israel was put on pause. The prophets didn't see that, but I'm glad that it was put on pause because God is using that time for the Gentile people to bring out a people for himself among the Gentiles, and that's you and me. As far as I know, all of us in this room are Gentiles, and God is using that time to fulfill his plan for the Gentiles, that through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But that time, that pause, is almost over. And sooner or later, I think sooner rather than later, we will hear the trumpet. We will hear the voice as of the voice of an archangel say, come up hither. We will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the play button on the program for Israel is pressed again, and the 70th week begins. 70th week of years, 7 years. The final 7 years of God's program for Israel begins. And we see that it begins with verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The he is the Antichrist. Confirm a covenant with Israel for 1 week, for 7 years. We see what happens in the midst of the week. And so what we've been talking about is the coming tribulation period is 7 years in duration. Let's talk about that and see what happens in the middle of that 7 years. Go to the Lord in prayer with me, would you please? Father in heaven, help in our time in the Word of God today that you would just greatly bless, Father, that you would help and work and give us right minds to think about this clearly. Father, once again, I ask and I pray that our study of future events and end time events would not simply be to tickle our ears, Lord God, but to give us something that each and every one of us can apply to our lives today, Father God, as we see your program carry forth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And so we see that the tribulation period that we've called it is 7 years in duration. It is a week of years. It's what Daniel, we refer to it as Daniel's 70th week. The 69 weeks happened, and Messiah was cut off, but not for himself, for us. 69 weeks happened, the pause button was pressed, and the 70th week will begin any moment, could begin any moment, and it's a week of years. Now, the interesting part is that this week of years is clearly divided into 2 3.5-year periods. 3.5-year periods. Notice in Daniel 9:27, we just looked at it. It says, the midst of the week. In the midst of the week. We won't turn. In Revelation 11, verse 2, it speaks of, during the tribulation period, something taking place for 42 months. How long is 42 months, anybody? 3.5 years. And then that's repeated with a different something that takes place for 42 months in Revelation 13:5. 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. In Revelation 11:3, one of the very next verses, that 42 months is instead referred to as 1,203 score days. 1,260 days. How long is that? 3.5 years. 42 months. And then in Revelation 12, verse 6, it's also referred to as 1,203 score days. In Daniel 7:25, we won't turn there, but we read this about the coming tribulation period, something that takes place for a time and times and the dividing of time. A time, one time, and two times, and the dividing of time. 3.5 times. And this 3.5 times actually corresponds to the 42 months or the 1,260 days of Revelation. We read the same thing in Daniel 12:7, a time, times, and a half. So again, 3.5. And then this is actually repeated in Revelation 12:14, a time and times and half a time. So 3.5, 3.5. 42 months, 1,260 days, or a time and times and half a time. All of these refer to 3.5 years. Some of these refer to the first half of the tribulation period. Some of these refer to the last half of the tribulation period. But the interesting point is the references here in Daniel can be clearly correlated with the references in Revelation so that we know that Daniel's time and times and half a time matches up with 42 months or 1,203 score days. So 3.5 years. Some refer to the first half of the tribulation period. Some refer to the latter half of the tribulation period. So let's talk about that. We've gone over events in the first half of the tribulation period. But let's just review that for just a little bit. First of all, in Daniel 9:27, we see that the Antichrist brokers a covenant with Israel and rises as a world power, some kind of a political ruler. He's not the world leader yet of a one world government, but it's moving in that direction. At the beginning of the tribulation period, he brokers some kind of a peace deal, some kind of a covenant with Israel and probably with the nations surrounding them. Maybe puts an end, at least temporarily, to the Arab-Israeli conflict. He does something that nobody's been able to do since the birth of Jacob and Esau, or since the birth of Isaac and Ishmael. He brings peace in the Middle East. By the way, and we'll talk about this when we look at this a little bit more, but all of my life, if you've paid attention to politics, maybe all of your life, we've always held in very high regard someone who is trying to bring peace in the Middle East, whether it was the Camp David Accords, I think back to the Jimmy Carter days, Reagan after Carter, right up until recent years, and we've hailed, this man was able, to do something great for the nation of Israel. Can I remind you that the Antichrist himself will be Israel's best friend for 3.5 years at least? So, yes, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I understand that. But don't nail your hopes to a man because he's able to do something special in the Middle East. That's exactly how the Antichrist gets his start on his path to world domination. So in the first half of the tribulation, that takes place. And then there is a short-lived world peace that eventually breaks out into total world war. We saw that with the second seal that was released. And we see that the seal judgments put the earth through tribulation that's never been seen before. The entire world in tribulation that's never been seen before. However, those seal judgments, those first judgments, will pale in comparison to what's coming later. We see some or all of the trumpet judgments during the first half of the tribulation, and these are even worse than the seal judgments. But again, they're not as bad as what's coming later with the final judgments, the bowl judgments. And during all of this, the interesting part during all of this is that Israel is relatively peaceful in the midst of all this surrounding chaos. The Antichrist, he's not been revealed to be the Antichrist yet. He's made some kind of a deal with Israel to protect their peace. And so the world war that's taking place is not taking place in Israel. And things that we read in the Old Testament, I don't have time to go on to all the references, tell us that the judgments that are taking place, the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, are not yet affecting Israel. So in the midst of all this chaos, all around the world, Israel is in relative peace. The temple has been rebuilt in Jerusalem. They're already pushing for that. What stands in the way of the temple being rebuilt, anybody? There's a mosque called the... Okay, and what's that mean? What's it? The Dome of the Rock. There's a mosque standing on the Temple Mount called the Dome of the Rock, and it's under Muslim and Arab control, and they can't rebuild the temple. But the Temple Institute has already, in the last 10, 20 years, has already got together all of the gold dishes, the vessels, the lavers, the spoons, the candle snuffers, and the candlesticks, everything that they need to rebuild the temple. This idea started way back in 1948 and 1950s. Americans and American Jews were donating money in the 1950s to rebuild the temple. And they've gathered all of the money that they need. They've already made out of gold all of the things. If you read through Leviticus and read all the things that go in a temple, they've already made all of that. They're ready to rebuild the temple. It could be that the covenant Antichrist signs with Israel somehow allows them to rebuild the temple. Some kind of compromise, some kind of trade-off. You get the Dome of the Rock, you can tear it down and rebuild, and in exchange, will whatever. I don't know. But at least by the midpoint of the tribulation period, the temple has been rebuilt. And then Israel, in peace. Nobody bothering them, no more reign of terror by the Palestinians shooting rockets from Gaza into Israel. No more of that. Suicide vest bombers. No more of that. And Israel, in peace, is able to start once again doing the daily sacrifice. Sacrifice every day. Sacrifice in the morning, sacrifice in the evening. Next day, get up, do it again. Sacrifice in the morning, sacrifice in the evening. In the rebuilt temple. All this is the first half of the tribulation period. Now, let me ask you this. Is there any precedent for God's judgment falling everywhere around the Israelites, but sparing them in their land? I want to hear from you. Miss Gail. So when Joseph brought his father Jacob into the land, he said, "Let's get the land of Goshen." And you read in Genesis that the Israelites settled in the land of Goshen, and then 400 and some years later, when the plagues began, the plagues were everywhere in the land of Egypt, except where? Except in Goshen. So there's a precedent. We just read that. Now here's a question. Turn there. You don't have to hold your place. We won't be back to Daniel. Turn to Exodus chapter 9. Don't read it yet. Let me just ask you this question. So in Egypt, during the 10 plagues, the Egyptians are being judged. Mainly Pharaoh is being judged for his hardness of heart, but as the head of Egypt, it's on his land. How did those being judged feel toward those who were spared? Mrs. Tigges.
They were angry. They were angry toward the children of Israel.
They were angry. We see that anger. I told you to turn to Exodus chapter 9. We see that anger at the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 9. Look at verse 7. Look how frustrated Pharaoh is. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. So all the cattle died, and Pharaoh says, Moses said the land of Goshen would be spared. Send somebody over there to check that out. And he sent. And they came back and said, their cattle are fine. Every cow we passed along the way to the land of Goshen was a dead carcass. When we saw a live cattle, it was right after we passed into the border of the land of Goshen. But he went to go find out, is this really true that they're being spared? Middle of verse 7. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Look at Exodus chapter 10 and verse 28. And Pharaoh said unto him, unto Moses, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. So those being judged in Egypt, how did they feel toward those being spared? We hate them. We're angry. We're mad. It's not fair. Every 4-year-old's favorite line, and some 24-year-old and 44-year-old's favorite lines. They were angry. But I want you to notice something. That wasn't everybody in Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 9 again. Before the hail. Verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Not everybody was hateful toward those being spared. Not everybody was mad at those being spared. Some looked at it and said, wait, there's something supernatural going on here, and I want to get on the good side of it. Want to be that way in the tribulation period? So Israel's being spared. How is the world going to feel about that? The whole world is at war. And in Israel, they're just sacrificing and having a good old time, minding their own business. How is the world going to feel about that? How's the world going to feel about that? Somebody? Anybody? The oldest, you know, the oldest conspiracy theory in the world is there's this secret cabal of Jews running things behind the scene, orchestrating events behind the scene to run the world. This secret organization of Jews in charge of, you name it, the banking system, the political system, whatever. That's the oldest conspiracy theory in the world because it comes straight from Satan. But so if the whole world goes to war and is suffering these plagues, and they look and see Israel is spared, aren't they going to say, there's a secret cabal of Jews behind the scenes orchestrating all of... They're going to hate the Jews. They're going to hate... And those who had no hate for the Jews before are going to start hating the Jews. But there's going to be some that are going to say, no, there's something supernatural going on here, and I better get in on the good side of it. Right. But they're going to hate the Jews. They're going to hate the nation of Israel. By and large, all these devilish conspiracy theories, and by the way, if you hear preachers talking about these conspiracy theories, turn them off and don't ever listen to them again. All these devilish conspiracy theories are going to come right back. The Jews are behind it. That's what Hitler said about the Depression in the 1930s. The Jews are behind it. The Jews are behind it. The Jews are behind it. And all this sets the stage for the mid-tribulation events. Here are the hatred of the Jews that's already present in the world today and has been present from the birth of Isaac and Ishmael, already present in the world today, reaches a fever pitch during the tribulation period because, like Pharaoh, they sent and saw in Israel, there's no war, there's no plagues, they've rebuilt their temple, they're just having themselves a time there. The world will hate Israel, and that sets the stage for the mid-tribulation events. So what are the events we're going to cover in the next few weeks? First of all, we're going to see that Satan is cast out of heaven once and for all. Middle of the tribulation period, Satan is cast out of heaven once and for all. We need to talk about that because some people have a wrong idea about Satan, who he is, where he came from, where he's at right now. Some people think the devil is in hell. The devil's not in hell. So does Satan have access to heaven right now? Yes, he does. We're going to talk about that, Lord willing, probably next week. Satan is cast out of heaven once and for all. Then Satan, he will personally indwell the Antichrist. Demons indwell people. Different devils indwell people. I doubt very few people have ever been possessed by Satan himself. We only read of one in the scriptures. Who was that? Judas Iscariot. We only read of one in the scriptures that was actually possessed by Satan himself. You know what? I think Satan himself, he's a lot busier than we give him credit for. He's busy doing a lot more things. He's not going around possessing somebody, some little nobody somewhere. But when it comes to the Antichrist, he'll possess him, physically possess the Antichrist. And an Antichrist army will conquer Israel and invade Jerusalem. All this takes place in the middle of the tribulation period, and we'll see that Israel flees to safety in the wilderness, and the Antichrist will slay the two witnesses. We saw the two witnesses already in our study. Antichrist will defile the temple and declare himself to be God. We'll look at that. Then the two witnesses are resurrected after 3.5 days and ascend to heaven. We'll look at that, and then we'll see that at that point, at the midpoint of the tribulation period, Jesus takes legal possession of the earth and of his kingdoms, and he begins the final purge to prepare earth for his coming rule, for his kingdom. And that purge will last 3.5 years. That's what we'll see in the mid-tribulation events. There's a lot that goes on right there at that midpoint, at that 3.5 years. And that's why so often through the Bible, it's pointed out 42 months, 1,260 days, or a time and times and half a time. So much takes place right at the midpoint of the tribulation period. There's your preview of where we're going with this. All right, we got time for a little bit of discussion. If anybody has anything to point out or ask or say. I do want to caution you. It's making inroads among Baptists, this anti-Jewish nonsense. The Jews are not perfect people. Israel's not a perfect nation. But you know what? America's not a perfect nation. Americans are not perfect people. France, England, whoever, you name it, India, they're not a perfect people. Israel's not a perfect nation. But these conspiracy theories that go all the way back to Haman, the Agagite, and before him, they're from the pit of hell, and they're making inroads. There are Baptist preachers, at least who call themselves Baptist, on the internet talking about the Jews this and the Jews that. That's devilishly motivated. That's devilishly motivated. Be careful of that. Watch out for that. So I just want to caution you about that. Was that enough? Anybody have anything to add, ask, or say? Wow, we finished early. Melissa. Yes. We've been in this study for quite some time. The first thing that we studied in this study was the very next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, the catching away of the saints. We don't know when it will be, but we know when it comes, it will take less than the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15. That could be today. That could be before I close in prayer and say amen this morning. Wouldn't that be something to be raptured right out of church? Yes. Be going straight from church to heaven, to the assembly of the firstborn in heaven, church of the firstborn in heaven. That'd be something to be raptured right out of church. So that is the very next event on God's prophetic calendar is the sounding of the trumpet for the rapture. And that's when the 7-year tribulation begins. Shortly after that, a world ruler, a political leader of some kind, will make a covenant with Israel, and that begins the 7-year tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, God's program for the nation of Israel. I keep pointing out, by the way, I should go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, since this came up. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we looked at this at the very beginning of our study, but we need to be reminded on a regular basis. I keep pointing out God's program for Israel. I keep pointing out God's program for Israel was put on pause so that God could deal with the Gentile peoples and call out the church. We need to understand the distinction. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at the end of the chapter? Verse 32, the second to last verse in the chapter. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Three classes of people in this present age are mentioned in that verse. The unsaved Jews, the unsaved Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, and then the saved in this age of Jew or Gentile, the what? The church of God. Those are the three classes of people that God is dealing with in this age. Right now is the church age. This is the church age, the day of grace. But, so God's program for Israel has been put on hold so that he can have a program for the church largely made up of Gentiles. That comes to an end at the rapture. And God once again begins working with Israel, dealing with Israel. The Reformed theology and the mainline Protestants, and even Catholic doctrine wants to do away with this verse out of the Bible because they want to say that the church replaced Israel. Basic Bible doctrine, the church did not replace Israel. The church did not inherit the covenants of Israel, or else we could just go to the Holy Land and take it over right now. The church, God still has a plan for Abraham's physical seed, the nation of Israel. The land still belongs to them, regardless of the Arab squatters that are on it right now. The land still belongs to them. God still has a plan. God is still going to fulfill his promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon. God is still going to fulfill his promises literally to a literal nation of Israel. And if anybody doubted that, all they have to do is open up the history book, open up the World Book Encyclopedia Annual Yearbook, and go back to 1948. Go back to 1967. Look at the history of the nation of Israel regathered in her land, regathered in unbelief, Ezekiel's dry bones, he called it, but regathered in her land. God still has a program for the nation of Israel. The church did not replace Israel. The church age is soon coming to an end. We pray. Well, I don't want this church to ever quit. I want there to always be an Old Paths Baptist Church, but actually I pray that this is the last service this church ever has. If we're raptured out of here before pastor preaches, or so I took your question and ran with it, but yes, the rapture has already happened. The rapture, But before the middle of the tribulation, how long has it been, or at the middle of the tribulation, how long has it been since the rapture? At least 3.5 years, maybe just a month or two more. We got to give the Antichrist time to work. But yeah, the rapture's already happened. So the question is, will the people left behind still have a chance to be saved? Uncounted millions will be saved. Uncounted millions, untold millions. We find them martyred for the cause of Christ, beheaded for the cause of Christ. Uncounted millions will be saved. However, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches those who clearly heard and understood the gospel before the rapture rejected it. The Bible calls it, they received not the love of the truth. They rejected what they heard and understood. They will receive strong delusion after the rapture. They will believe all of the lies of the Antichrist, and they will be eternally damned. So, God knows their heart. So, but if somebody understands what I just said and they've rejected the gospel, clearly, you know, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. All right. We're out of time and the lobby's filling up. Let's pray. Thank you for your input this morning. Lord willing, next week we'll pick up with mid-tribulation events. And I think we're going to learn a lot, and I think I'm going to try to apply it to our life today. It's not just something, I keep saying this over and over, it's not just something we need to know because it's going to happen, although that is true, but it's something we need to know, like anything in the Bible, it's things pertaining to life and godliness. It helps us in our day-to-day living today. And so I hope that's how we can apply it beginning next week when we look at the mid-tribulation events, beginning with Satan's final cast out of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God today. Lord God, just continue to bless our study. Now bless the church services today. Guide and direct that you would be honored and glorified. And we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, wouldn't it be a blessing, Lord God, if we were raptured right out of the church service today? Father, we just ask you, Lord God, that if that is in your plan, Lord God, that you would bring it to pass. Bless the church services regardless. Help us, Lord God, to live every day with the expectation that today could be the day we hear the trumpet. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.